All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, our text will be found in verses 1 and 2, and I've entitled this message, A Race of Endurance, A Race of Endurance. The Scripture says, Wherefore, see, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we going to run this race? And he gives us the answer. I like the Scriptures. They don't make us guess as to how to run. Here it is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now the apostle in the previous chapter had given us what we like to call the hall of faith. The hall of faith. He gives us a very exhaustive list of those believers who have gone before us, whose faith are an example. An example. We are to run this race that Paul says by faith, looking to Jesus. And before this, he gives us examples of such faith in Christ. The faith of Abel looked to Christ, didn't he? Looked to the offering of Christ. Enoch testified of God's acceptance of all who believe in Christ. Enoch walked with God. And so this morning, if you are a believer, you are walking with God like Enoch. Noah's faith reveals to us that faith, God's true faith, moves us to a refuge, moves us to the ark, which is a refuge for our souls. Abraham's faith trusted God's word regardless of what he saw, regardless of man's reason. He offered his son Isaac. How? By faith. That wasn't reasonable according to man, but he did it according to faith. He believed God. And true faith endures, even unto death. Look at verse 13 of that previous chapter. Listen, all of these that had faith, these all died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded them, embraced them, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might not have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. True faith offers up all that is dear. All that is dear. Why? We seek a country, friends. We seek a heavenly country whose builder and maker is God. And because of this, he goes on and he says, we suffer the loss of all things. True faith offers up that which is most dear. Isn't that what he did with Isaac? He offered up what was most dear to him. Like Moses, true faith sacrifices the treasures of this world and suffers with the saints of God. True faith keeps the Passover, which is looking to Christ. Looking to His blood to satisfy the justice of God. And look at verse 39 and says, And these all. All of these who live by faith, all of these who died in faith, all of these who sacrificed everything so that they should obtain heaven, obtain Christ, all these having obtained a good report. How? Through faith. Receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now seeing these saints obtained a good report, they kept the faith. In other words, what they do? They never stop looking to Christ. No matter what happened to them, no matter their circumstance, no matter their trial, no matter their difficulty, these all obtained a good report. You know, we've had believers in our congregation who have obtained the same good report, haven't we? They died in faith. They looked to Christ. So did all of these saints who went before. But what happened to these saints? They didn't receive the promise. Christ didn't come during their time. These all believed that Jesus would come and suffer, and they suffered a loss of all things, trusting God, yet they didn't receive it. For God, having promised some better thing for us, what is this better thing? Now we know this, that our salvation is not better than theirs. Why? Because they had the same faith we had. They had the same Savior we had. The same blood of Christ cleanses us is the same blood that cleanses them. The same righteousness of Christ that robes us, that robed them. The same inheritance we'll receive is the same inheritance they'll receive. So what's this better thing? Oh, friend, you got it in your hand. It is the full revelation of the Word of God. God had something better for us. What's better than miracles and signs and wonders? It's the revelation of God. What do we need miracles and signs for when we have the full revelation of God? There are a lot of people seeking miracles, aren't there? Signs and wonders. But we who run this race by faith, we know this. This is the blessing. The revelation of God we have in our hands. Paul said it at the very beginning of this book. He said, God in sundry times and divers manners spake to the prophets in times past, hath now in these days spoken to us by His Son. He spoke by miracles and types and pictures and signs. But now what has He done? The full revelation has come. Christ is the manifestation of all those types and shadows. That's the better thing that we have. And so, we've seen that the faith of these saints, He said in Hebrews chapter 12 now in verse 1. Now, I think I got a technical issue. So having seen the true nature and character of faith of the saints, seeing the great feats of faith, the apostle now concludes in our text. He's concluding here. Let's read our text together now. He said, wherefore see, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that doth easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here we're able to see three duties and responsibilities of every believer who's come to Christ. Every one of you who are a believer, this is our duty and responsibility given to us. It is our exhortation. He is exhorting these saints, and He is exhorting us in three different things. First of all, we are to run a race that is set before us. This is our responsibility. Run the race set before you. And we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. And how are we to run this race is clear in the third point, looking to Jesus. First of all, a race to be run. The apostle here uses the metaphor of a race, an Olympic event, to describe the life of every believer. Now, there are many metaphors in Scripture. Warfare, that's a metaphor for our life, isn't it? We struggle with the flesh. We war with Satan. We war with the world. We're at war. A journey. We're like strangers and pilgrims in this land. That's a metaphor for what our life is. And Paul said, now our life is like a race that has been set before us. Now, first of all, Paul, in this race, he sets our attention first on the spectators. Look at that in verse 12. He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and run the race. He says, there's spectators around. We've got witnesses. This crowd of witnesses, who are they? Well, those are the saints that have gone before. These saints whose faith we have read of in chapter 11 and have gone before us, whose record of faith we have in the Holy Scriptures. He said, see now that they've run their race, they've endured their trials and difficulties. They are what? Witnesses to us of this one truth. Listen to this. They're witnesses. Everyone who has true faith will endure. Everyone who has true faith will endure. And so he encourages us to endurance. To endurance. This race of being a believer is not a sprint. It's not, you know, those who sprint, they die out. They're like that one who had the seed planted on stony ground. He sprang up. And what happened when trouble came to him? He withered away. But this race that we have is an endurance race. And Paul encourages us to endure, seeing we've had these witnesses. Seeing how we are kept by the power of God through faith in the midst of all of our weakness and infirmities. All those witnesses went before us. They were kept by God. They endured their trials in the midst of all their trials and troubles. How did they endure? Friend, how in the world did Moses endure? How did Jacob endure? How did Abraham endure? You pay attention. Here's their witness. They were kept by God. That's how they endured. They were kept by God. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this with me. A few pages over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 23. The apostle says here, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, absolutely. God sets you apart. God sanctify you. God keep you. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. In other words, He keeps the whole man. He sanctifies the whole man, and be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the confidence? That we would be wholly sanctified, that we would be wholly preserved. What's your confidence this morning? You're going to endure this race. How do you know that your faith will endure? Look at the next verse. Because faithful is He that calleth. He will also do it. Don't you see who called you? God called you. God sanctified you. God preserves you blameless. And God is faithful. If He that hath begun a good work in you, what? What is it? Shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, you remember that section where it says, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. What is that? Your salvation. The zeal of God's going to perform your salvation. Now look now at that great cloud. Those who bear the record of faith that went before us. How do you suppose they endured to the end? How do you suppose these men, through all their difficulties and promises, endured to the end, even unto death? Remember David? He said this, though my house be not so with God. Is your house so with God? What about your house? You suppose you could take your house and your works and make God accept them? No, David said, no. Although my house is a mess. Listen, here's my hope. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, though He make it not to grow, though I can't even see it growing. He said, He's sure. These men endured by faith. They sacrificed and suffered the loss of all things for Christ and died in faith, even because they were kept by the power of God. Now, believer, this should give you great encouragement. If you were for a moment to study the faith of these men, your faith is the same as their faith. It's God-given. And listen, it's God kept. It's God kept. God gives us great encouragement and hope and assurance to our weary souls that we too, like those who went before us, though frail and suffering, though weak and wounded, by our troubles, our trials, our sins, our difficulties, we have this promise, we shall endure because He is faithful. He is faithful. We're not going to run this race in your own strength. You're not going to be able to grin and bear it. I've seen people try that. These are false believers. False believers grin and bear it. And they just try so hard. And they just don't last. Why? They're doing it in their own strength. They're trying to run this race in their own strength, their own power. Believers, we know this. We can't. Could you make it one day in your own strength? No, you couldn't make it one minute in your own strength. But look at those clouds of witnesses. They endured. Now, what's the hope of this? So will you. If you have true faith, it will endure. Now, we who are made participants in this race, we are made participants in this race. We know this. We did not stumble into this race. We did. You know, that's like me running. If they're going to have Olympics soon, and that's like me just showing up one day and stumbling into the race, I'd be laughed off the track. There'd be no way to get in. Why? The race is set for the participants that are purposed to be there. And so it is with God. We didn't just stumble in this race. Listen, God set us in this race. God put us in this race. And you listen, our course is set. What kind of race would it be if there were no course? You just run where you want to. Paul said, look, this race, your race, is set. It has a course. It has a start. It has a middle, and it has an end. Some are longer, some are shorter, some are harder, some are less deep. But I'll tell you this, it's all set by God. Listen what one translation says about this text. It says, let us run with patience, endurance, and steady, active persistence the appointed course. The appointed course of the race that is set before us. This race we're running today, this life we are living, I want you to know this, it is all appointed of God. Every bit of it. It is all appointed an individual course designed of God for each of His saints. And so, each course is full of hills and valleys. It's full of obstacles and difficulties. It is full of joys and sorrows, griefs and triumphs, which are skillfully purposed and designed by the great and wise God, our Savior. Everything in your course is set. It's fixed. There's not one bump in this road that's not ordained of God. There's not one difficulty you'll face, not one hill you'll face, not one sorrow you'll face, not one joy you'll experience that has not been set for you by the all-wise God. And we all are set to run this race in the arena of this present evil world. Why do you think the course is so difficult? Because it's here. It's in this world of sin and death and sorrow and grief. And our Lord, He prayed, He said this in John 17, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but should keep them from the evil one. Christ didn't want us out of this world. Why? Our course is set in this world. That's where our course is. And so our course is set in the Word of God and by divine providence. How do we run this course? Well, according to the Word of God. This is our source of faith and practice right here. Not human wisdom, not human reasoning, not what we see, not what we feel, and not what we think. The Word of God is the source of our faith and practice. And what is that Word? It's all about Christ. We're going to see that in just a minute. And so all the providences of this life are set. And this race, all believers must run. And I'll tell you this, it requires great effort. In your life, in your experience, believer, is that not so? Is this not a grueling race? Is this not a hard road? It is. We must strive. We must constantly strive, relentlessly endure, persistent, patient determination. And everyone's race is full of hard sorrows and pains. Don't you think that you're the only one? We get in that Elijah mode. We say, I'm the only one. Nobody else has suffered like me. No, every believer has his own course. And every believer's course. And so I wouldn't envy anyone's course. Don't look at a man's outward appearance and say, man, that guy's got it made. I wish I had it. You couldn't handle his course. And most likely. So every believer's course is full of pain. But if our race is ordained of God, if we are redeemed by the blood of Christ and called by the Holy Spirit to faith in Christ, listen, we shall, without exception, finish our course. We shall, without exception, finish our course, but it will not be effortless. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress those two men who were headed to the celestial city, Christian and Ignorance. They both wanted to go to heaven. They both wanted to get to heaven. But you remember Ignorance, of course, he floated about. Wherever the easiest course was, that's the course he took. Whatever road was easiest. Christian was not permitted to take the easy road. Why? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that lead unto life. And what does that mean? Is that like we're to obey the law? No. Faith in Christ, that's the road. And that road is covered with snares and traps and difficulties. Ignorance, he went on and his life was blissful. Until what? He got to the gate and he was cast into outer darkness. Believer in Christ, let us mind our race and not envy the race of the wicked, which seems easy and without trouble, without difficulty. You see, our race, our course requires effort, sacrifice in the service of Christ. And our race, we must endure to the end to have eternal life. Jesus said that, didn't he? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Over in Psalm 37, David said this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of them. Don't be envious of the easy path of the non-believer. Don't be swayed into taking their path because it's easy. Why? Because their path leads to death. He said, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. But let us also not look to our brethren's way. This happened to Peter. Remember Peter? He was told how he was going to die. He said, look, Lord said, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, somebody's going to carry you where you don't want to go. And John said, this speaks of his death, how he should glorify God by his death. And you know what Peter said? What about John? What about John? What is his course? And what did Jesus say? You never mind his course. Follow thou me. Isn't that exactly what our text is saying? It says, let us run the race that is set before us. A race of faith and endurance in faith. Not minding someone else's course. Let us keep our eyes fixed on the prize. That's what runners do, isn't it? They keep their eyes fixed on the finish line. Let's run our race. Now remember, the whole book of this book is meant to encourage these Hebrew believers to endurance. If you read this whole book of Hebrews, you're going to find that he is encouraging them to endure, to hold fast, seeing so many have gone before us and have received the crown, the promise, so will we if we endure. And pay attention, those that do not endure will not receive a crown. Those who do not finish this race will not receive glory. Paul said this in Hebrews 10. He said, let us hold fast our profession of faith, not wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. You see how we're going to endure is by his faithfulness. That's how. We must endure, but our endurance is not dependent upon our strength. It's dependent on his faithfulness. We hold fast, yes. Hold fast with all your might. But know this, he's holding you. Brother Don Fortner had that illustration. I loved it. His daughter used to take it, swing on his fingers. She had her little hands wrapped around his fingers, and she would grab a hold of them so tightly, and she would swing back and forth. But who was holding who? This morning, who's holding who? Why have you made it this far? Has the road not been hard? Has it not been full of thorns and snares and troubles and heartaches? Yes. Why do you believe? Why do you still come? Knowing that the road ahead, if we endure, if we live, the road ahead is going to be harder than the road behind. Why do you endure? Because he endures. Because he keeps me and gives me strength for the day, faith for the day. Oh, saint of God, don't quit. That's the message of this book. Don't quit. Why? He's faithful. You should endure because he's faithful. Don't turn back. That's a warning, isn't it? Listen to this. Remember Lot's wife. All the appearance of a good runner. She had all the makings of a... Everyone believed she was a believer. Until when? Until she stopped running. And her heart was in Sodom. Morning, listen to me. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Our Lord said, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Why? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, this stuff is passing. Set your eye on Christ, who endures forever, whose strength we need to endure. I know that you are tried on every side, believer. I know that you are tempted by Satan, the world. You're tempted by your family and your friends and your lusts. And your own flesh pulls you backwards. I know that. Well, let's do like Christian did. You remember how he put his hands on his ears and he ran. Life! Life! Eternal life! He ran! If you're tried and tempted, run! Run. Run to where? Run to Christ. Immediately. Daily. Constantly. Perpetually. Running to Christ. Why? Because these things weigh us down in this race. Y'all want to be like Paul. Paul said, I count all things but loss that I might win Christ. And what be found in Him? Is there anything greater than to be found in Him? Is there anything more you want in this world than to be found in Him? A true believer only wants to be found in Him. No matter the cost. No matter the loss. I must have Him. That's running. That's enduring. Paul says, now the just shall live by faith. But, listen to it. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Is that not true? That's true, isn't it? But here's your hope, true believer. But we. But we, chosen, redeemed, and called of God, we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Why? He is faithful. Promise. He is faithful. I know this race is hard. The valleys are very low and the hills are steep. The thorns are sharp. The pains and sorrows are many. And the way is long. It's full of snares and traps and darts of Satan to hinder us. The flesh weighs us down. Paul said, likens your flesh to a rotting corpse tied about your neck. Always weighing us down in this race. Listen, we must endure. I must have Christ. I must have Him. We endure, we persevere, because the end of those who leave Christ is what? Eternal death. So the Word of God is clear. If you continue in the faith, settled, grounded, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Paul said Christ died for you if you don't go away. If you continue. What's the evidence of true faith? The evidence of true faith is this. We continue. We endure. Paul said, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. Therefore, only the elect, only those called and redeemed of Christ will endure. But we know that our endurance is not the cause of our salvation. Now listen to me. You're enduring this morning, to this morning. Don't trust in your past endurances. Why? Your endurance has nothing to do with your salvation. You got that? Your salvation does not rest on your endurance, but rather on Christ's finished work. On Christ's finished work. We must persevere, but we will persevere because we are preserved. But all who fall away, who continue not in the faith, they will only manifest this. They started their own race by themselves. They've made up their own course. And they're not running for life. They're running to death. They're running to death. So let us see now how we may run this race. Second thing is this, lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. When the ancient Greeks would run a race, they would strip down. I mean, they stripped down to nothing. Why? Because they didn't want anything to weigh them down. Isn't that just logical when you're running a race that you don't want to put on weights? You want to take off weights. You want to strip down. And that's what God does to us in this race. He strips us down. He constantly is stripping us down of what? Those weights. Those things that hinder us. This is what those before us did. They either willingly forsook the things that weighed them down or God took them away. Isn't that right? And that's the same with us. Listen, we are either going to willingly get rid of these weights or God is going to strip us of them. Why? So that you might endure. So that you take away those things that hinder. The possessions of this world. The things that hinder our love. Our service, our obedience to God. Either we lay these aside or God will lay them aside so that we might endure. Abraham willfully left his home, didn't he? God didn't have to strip Abraham of his home. He said, yeah, I'm going. And he willfully went. But old Job, he didn't get such pleasure as that, did he? God was made to strip him of everything he had. Therefore, let us heed the gracious exhortation to which every believer is responsible and is very reasonable. That's just reasonable, isn't it, to lay aside weights in this race? It would be foolish for us not to. Even so, it would be foolish for us not to set aside the affections of the things of time and earth, that they would hinder our course of faith. Behold our goals. Behold, what is our destination? Is our goal the things in this life? Listen to me, I love my family, but is that my goal? Is that my aim, to have a good family? To have finances in this world? Riches? Is that my aim in this race? I'm not running for a family. I'm not running for riches. I'm not running for the things that... I'm running for life. I'm running to get to win Christ. I'm running to be found in Him. And it's reasonable for me to cast off those things that would hinder me. We were chosen to this race. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ and stripped of the weight of sin, weren't we? That was a weight. We were given life. We were dead. There we were at the start line, dead as a doornail. God gave us life and we began to run this race. But how could we run this race with all this sin? You know what the first thing He did? He took all the sin away. He removed our sin. He stripped us of our sin. What a weight. That's what Pilgrim did, didn't he? He had that big burden on his back until he came to the cross. And when he came to the cross, the burden rolled off his back. That's what happens to us. We come to Christ and the burden of sin, and you know what? He leaped. He had so much joy, the sin was gone. Where'd it go? Christ suffered in his stead, died for those sins, and justice was satisfied. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree and lifted the weight off our shoulders. Where'd that sin go? Rolled into the tomb, never to be seen again. Always loved that great Day of Atonement, don't you? That man, that strong man who carried that scapegoat. Can you imagine watching him go in the distance? Just watch him. And he's very big at the beginning. And as he goes, he gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and he's gone. That's our sins. Our sins are gone. You should be able to run freely. You've been justified before God. You have peace with God. You have grace to stand before God acceptable. Isn't that strengthening? Encouraging? No matter what, you have acceptance with God, no matter what. Now your sins are gone. Christ had by His self purged our sins. Scripture says, wherefore, as by one man, over at Hebrews 9, Hebrews 9, chapter 9 and verse 12, I think it is. It says, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in. Listen, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 29. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And of them that look for Him, that run this race, He shall appear the second time unto salvation. Chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down forever on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Now, isn't that a weight? That weight is gone. Yet how often do we try to take that weight back on ourselves? Isn't that so? We sin. We still have sin in this body. When we sin, we feel the guilt of that sin. And what do we do? We're trying to make up for it. We're trying to reconcile ourselves to God. Why? That's a weight you can't bear. Look to Christ. Run to Christ. He's already satisfied that debt. Throw off that guilt because He has. Don't take the law. The law was never meant for that. No. Behold, believer, this world is not our home. Christ has died. He had laid aside those sins. Let us lay aside the weight of our sin, of our guilt, the things of this world, anything that would slow us down. The second thing is this. He said, let us lay aside this sin that doth so easily beset us. What is this sin that doth easily beset us? I'm going to tell you this. It's unbelief. Unbelief is the sin that easily besets us. It is the mother of all sin. Isn't that right? Now, suppose you are lusting after something. Why is it that you are lusting after this thing and you fulfill that lust? It's because you believe that it's better than what God has. You don't believe God is enough. So you want something more. Unbelief. Lay aside the sin of unbelief and run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul said, put off that old man. That old man of sin, put him off and put on the new man so that we may run this race with patience, endurance. I like that when John says this, my little children, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He says, sin not. Sin not. Are you tempted to sin? You know what that is? That's a burden. It's a weight. Cast it off. Cast it off. Sin not. But if you do, here it is, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But I want you to know this word in our text is singular. It says the sin that easily besets us. That is unbelief. Is there anything more unreasonable for the believer than unbelief? Is there anything more troubling? Why is it that we fear? If you have fear and doubts, why is it? Isn't it because you don't believe God? It's unbelief. So what should you do? Lay it aside. How do you lay aside unbelief? Here it is. Believe. You lay aside unbelief by believing. Trusting God's Word. If our salvation and endurance of faith were left up to us to add something to it, that's unbelief, isn't it? How many times you try to add to what God has said? That's unbelief. Lay it aside. It's a weight. But seeing that our race was purposed of God, set by God who loves us, seeing Jesus has removed our sin, fulfilled righteousness by His blood and obedience, seeing the Holy Ghost has given us life and faith, why then should we doubt? Why then should we fear that we will not endure? Now, I'm going to ask you this. Is that not the greatest fear you have, believer? You who are believers, is that not the greatest fear that we have? It's like those when the Lord said, one of you shall betray me. What was the greatest fear of the disciples? Is it me? Am I Lot's wife? Am I the one that won't endure? What's the remedy for such fear? Listen to this. Believe. Faith. Faith. We will not fail to continue because we are kept of God. We will not fail, listen to me, because He does not fail. He will not fail. Jesus said this, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written to me to do Thy will, O God. Listen, by the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified. And so Jesus could plainly, boldly say this, this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all He had given me, I should lose nothing. You know how many runners of this race are going to fail? None. Not one. Not one true runner will fail. Why? Because He cannot fail. Don't you know that my salvation is totally dependent on Him? If you're a true runner in this race, I know this, I'm going to strive. I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. I'm going to run my race with patience, endurance, looking to Christ. But I know this, the whole of my salvation, it depends on none of my endurance. It depends totally on Christ. So lay aside any unbelief that you should fail. Why? He shall not fail. He shall not fail. And so the only way then to run, the third thing here, the only way to run this race is mentioned in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We who believe in Christ know that the Lord Jesus Christ requires of us a full and complete surrender. Don't you know that? A full and complete surrender. That we may trust, that we may cast all our salvation upon Christ and follow Him and trust Him. And the only grounds upon which we make such a commitment so as to forsake all and follow Christ, the only motivation of everyone that comes to Him is this, looking to Jesus. This is what we do. Everyone who surrenders Christ does one thing. We look to Him, who is what? The author and finisher of our faith. The author of our faith. Isn't faith a gift of God? He said, this is the work of God. Jesus said this to those people in John chapter 6. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that faith not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this faith that we have, who authored this faith? It was Christ. Matter of fact, it's His faith. When Jesus Christ walked as a man, He walked by faith. He was a man of faith. He believed God. He trusted God for everything. And it is that faith by which we live. You see, I get my righteousness not by my faith, but by His faith. Isn't that what the Scripture says? It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Where did I get my righteousness? By the faith of Jesus Christ. And that, by the faith that I've been given, is how this righteousness is imputed and imparted to me through faith. That's what it says in the next part of that same verse in Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. He's the author of this faith. And so, how do I know I'm going to endure in faith? Because He's the finisher of it too. See, I'm looking as I'm running today, as I'm believing in Christ, and as I endure all the difficulties and trials of this life, I know this. I will endure because He that hath begun a good work in me will perform it. He is the author and finisher of our faith. This is how we run, friends. You want to endure in this? There's only one way. Looking to Jesus. For what? Everything. You need strength. Who do you look to? You need hope? Who do you look to? Is your faith weak? Your love low? Who do you look to? If you're looking to anything else, it's nothing but a weight. It's nothing but a hindrance. Cast it off. Whatever it is. And run with patience the race set before you, looking to Jesus. Keeping your eye fixed on Him. The moment we take our eyes, we're like Peter, we're sinking. Isn't that right? We're sinking. How do we run? Looking to Jesus. So what are these three things that we learn from this text? We learn this, that God set our course. Whatever course you're on, hey, listen, God did it. Whatever trial and difficulties in your way, God did it. He set this course for you. Now run your course. Run your course. Endure. You must endure. You must believe. Those cloud of witnesses, they endured. Here's my hope. They endured because they were kept. Even so, if I believe in Christ, I too shall be kept as I endure. And as we endure, we lay aside the weights of sin and unbelief. You have sin in your life, listen, you need to set it aside. Why? It's a weight. It's not a help. It's a weight. Unbelief is a weight. How do you set these weights aside? Looking unto Jesus. Why? He started this race by faith and He's going to finish this race by faith. Pray God will help you to endure, give you strength in this message. Strength to look to Christ. That's what I want you to do. Look to His blood. Look to His righteousness. Look to His strength, His power. And I know this, we that look to Him one day will be in the witness stand. We'll be in the witness stand and be looking on at other believers as they're running their race. I pray that God give us a good report of faith. And all the glory belongs to God.